Today is the voter registration deadline for one-third of the states across the country, from Arizona to Georgia to Illinois and beyond. So if you want to vote this November, this is your reminder to please go register. And leading up to Election Day, we've heard a lot about election meddling, whether by Russia, China, some guy in a basement, or otherwise. But what's not been in the media spotlight is ensuring fair access to the polls for everyone in the United States who wants to cast a ballot. Hurdles for voters are now getting thrown up across the country. Just this year, the American Civil Liberties Union filed a federal lawsuit against Arizona, saying the state put more than 500,000 voters at risk of being disenfranchised. And in June, a federal judge struck down a Kansas law that required proof of citizenship to register to vote. It was deemed a violation of the National Voter Registration Act. Jessica Hoosman is here to tell us more. She's a reporter with ProPublica and the lead reporter for Electionland, a coalition of newsrooms covering problems with voting in 2018. Jessica, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Help us understand what's happening here. We know that since 2016, there have been a couple of changes, as we mentioned at the top, affecting really voter disenfranchisement, who can and can't vote in this country. What have some of those changes been?
So there are a lot of states that have issued new voter ID laws, or there are states that have redrawn their voting boundaries to make it more difficult for your voice to be heard in terms of gerrymandering and making districts far more partisan than they once were. And this has sort of been a slow progression. States have also become a little bit more bold in terms of cleaning the voter rolls, and sometimes that crosses a line into purging. And so there have been a lot of actions, especially in the last 2 years, to make these things happen. So there's going to be, in this election, it's going to be the first time that a lot of these laws are in place, and we're expecting at least a little bit of confusion at the polls.
Let's talk about that, because we talked a little bit about, you know, cleaning and purging. What's the difference there between cleaning the voter rolls and purging the voter rolls? I think there are lots of civil rights activists who say this is really an effort to purge and keep communities of color and other folks off of the voter rolls. What are you seeing?
You know, I think that it really depends on who you ask. I think there's no election administrator, red, yellow, purple, green, that would tell you that voter roll maintenance is bad. I think we all have an interest in making sure that people who are no longer living in our communities or who are no longer eligible to vote for whatever reason remain on the voter roll. But there are states that do this in a particularly aggressive way that might make it more likely that a person who say doesn't check their mail very frequently or wouldn't know to respond to a specific mailer or doesn't vote regularly would be more likely to be purged from the voter roll. So, for example, the Houston case, which the Supreme Court decided just recently, allowed the state of Ohio to remove people from the roll if they didn't respond to a few mailers and also didn't vote in I think, two elections. And so if you think about the people who are least likely to respond to a postcard that looks very much like junk mail, if we're being honest, and then also not regularly turn out to vote, those might be people who are minorities or the poor or the elderly who are least likely to vote anyway. And so they might be at higher risk for getting purged from the rolls. It really depends on who you ask, how severe they believe that problem is. If you talk to someone like the Brennan Center, they're going to tell you that it's a crisis. If you talk to someone like the Public Interest Legal Foundation, they're going to tell you it's good practice.
Good practice, but I want to push back a little bit there, because when I get a notice for jury duty, it's clear what that notice is. I don't think anybody misses notices like that. Why aren't these notices clearer? They seem somewhat deceptive if you're taking people off the rolls and not making it clear that you've done that. I mean, isn't that somewhat anti-democratic?
So I think that that's not necessarily the case in a lot of states. The mailers, I agree, could be a lot clearer. But they do send the mailers more than one time over a period of a couple of years. That said, though, people are very likely to ignore them, even if they get them a couple of times. Like, I'm not sure that I would take a look at a postcard and realize that the consequence for not responding to it is that I might be removed from the voter roll.
Perhaps if the language was in huge, big, bold letters, as it is when you get a jury summons, and it clearly says if you don't show up, you're getting arrested. I want to turn around for a second here, because what happens at the 2016 election? There were, and I covered this, there were lots of threats at the polls, or the fear of people being threatened when they showed up at the polls. People claiming to sort of want to implement these checks and balances when they got there. Are you seeing that for the midterms? Are there that many levels of concern in terms of who can and can't vote? You mentioned confusion at the polls. What's mm-hmm. that going to look like?
So I think that what we're more likely to see, and this was the case as well in 2016, we anticipated ahead of the 2016 election a lot of voter intimidation. That was in the news every day. There were people actually actively making threats about intimidating voters at the poll and accosting them there. That didn't actually happen. In 2016, we only saw that a couple of very isolated locations and not for very long, and it didn't appear to be any sort of an organized effort. And so even if we start hearing sort of threats ahead of the midterm elections, I think that people should be really wary of the idea that someone's going to scream at them in front of their polling location. That is actually not a threat that we have seen. But the talk of that threat in exaggerating its likelihood would prevent some people from turning out to the poll. So I really want to stress that we did not see that in 2016, and we don't necessarily expect to see that in 2018. What we did see in 2016 and what we do anticipate seeing in 2018 is confusion around new laws. So, for example, in 2016, the Texas voter ID law was implemented, and it wasn't even necessarily that the law itself disenfranchised people, but because there was so confusion about what the law actually said at the time.
Step back a second. When you say it didn't actually disenfranchise people, doesn't a voter ID require you to have an ID? And a lot of people don't have that.
Right, it does. But in Texas in 2016, there was a reasonable impediment declaration that mm-hmm. you could fill out, and that was not appropriately implemented across the state. And so that and the misinformation in terms of what voters expected and what poll workers were trained to do disenfranchised quite a lot of people. And so we expect to see the same sort of confusion in 2018 around new laws.
Jessica Hoosman is a reporter with ProPublica and the lead reporter for ElectionLand. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And remember, listeners, today is the last day to register to vote in a bunch of states. So if you want to make your voice heard, please go register to vote.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.